It's an honor to be here this morning to share these things with you. It's an honor to be here simply because you're Christian people who are worshiping on the first day of the week. And I know that one of the great blessings of being in the church is that no matter where I go, what city I'm in, that I know that on a Sunday I can find a church and be among people who have a common faith, a common belief, who care about one another, who are going through the same trials and the same joys of life, and they're together worshiping the Lord. And it's very much an encouragement to me. You're an encouragement to me, and I appreciate this opportunity to be here this morning with you. I've been here a couple of your gospel meetings. It's been a while, a few years, but I've enjoyed my time here, and it's a privilege to be here. Before I begin any lesson, I want us to bow together and pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everything that you've given us. We're thankful that we can open your word this morning and study. We know that the Bible is your word, your will for our lives. We know that we can open it and know how to live this life and be prepared for the life to come. We're most thankful this morning for Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the life that he lived and the life that he gave on the cross. We're thankful that he made that sacrifice so that we could be saved, even though we had sinned and fallen short. Continue to bless this congregation. Continue to lift up those who are weak, heal those who are sick, and to forgive us when we've sinned. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One day I was at church building in my office, and I got a knock on the back door. And usually in the middle of the day and something like that happens, the person is either wanting benevolent assistance, or they're wanting directions. And on this particular day, I heard the knock on the door of the church building, opened it up, and the first question out of the person's mouth said, "Can a Christian lose their salvation?" And I have to be honest, I wasn't prepared for that question opening the door that day. I didn't think that we were going to have a Bible study. But we did. And man came in and we sat down and talked about that issue. You see, in the religious world, there are so many different things that you can hear and so many different things that you read about in various books that are written. And it's just a wide array of beliefs that you can come across, that you can read about. There are some people that's called believe in what is called universalism. That's just a fancy college word that means that they believe that all people go to heaven, or at least all good people go to heaven. They say that the only people that go to hell are the real evil people, the murderers, and Adolf Hitler, and Saddam Hussein, and people like that that you read about in the newspaper that have just done mass crimes against humanity. Only those people will go to hell. But everybody else resides in heaven. And of course, that directly contradicts what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. When he talked about the broad way that leads to destruction, and there are many who find it, and the narrow way that leads to life, and few who find it. There are others who say that, well, before the beginning of time, God determined every single person who would go to heaven. He knew your name, and he knew whether or not you would be saved. And that was determined before you even came into the world. And there's really nothing you can do about it on this earth, whether you believe the gospel or not, that you will either be saved or you'll be condemned, and you really don't have any free will. You don't have a choice to make. That was determined for you before you ever came into the world. There are others who say that you have to perform certain rituals in order to go to heaven. You have to say these certain words and check this certain deed off a list, and if you do those things, it really doesn't matter what your heart believes. it doesn't matter really much else what you do in life. It's simply the fact that you have marked off a few things on a list, and therefore you are saved. And there are many, like the man that came to the church building that day and knocked on the door, it said that it is impossible for a Christian to fall away from the Lord. Now, there is absolutely nothing this person can do that could ever forfeit their salvation. So all I want us to do this morning is simply open God's Word and look at a few things, look at a few passages that I believe would refute this claim. We start in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Look at what God told His people, the Israelites, concerning their standing before Him. Now I know that we do not live under the old law. We live under the new covenant. We live under the Christian age. But just simply look at this passage in terms of God's attitude toward His people who did things contrary to His will. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning of verse 11. Moses here in Deuteronomy is reading the law to these people who are about to go into the promised land. Deuteronomy means the second reading. Read Leviticus, in Exodus, they already got the law the first time, but you know they wandered in the wilderness, and that generation had to die off. And this new generation is about to go to the promised land, so Deuteronomy is the second reading of the law. So Moses is telling these people who are going to the promised land what they need to do. And in Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, he says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. The wilderness He fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you, that He might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise you may say to your heart, 'My power and strength of my hand made me this wealth.' But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who has given you the power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." So there Moses is saying to God's people, continue to be faithful to God no matter if geography changes. Faith is not a matter of geography. It's not a matter of, well, I don't live in that city anymore, and I don't live where I grew up and don't go to that church anymore, and well, now I'm over here and my address changed, so therefore my faith needs to change as well. Moses is telling these people, don't go into that land and build all your houses and have all your things and think you did it. Don't do that. It matters how you live, even though you are God's people. We can go further in the Old Testament. There's a lot that the prophets said about this, but interesting thing Hosea said in Hosea 11, verse 7. "So people are bent on turning from me, though they call them to the one on high, none exalts him." He said there are those who are God's people, and they talk about God, but they don't do anything to exalt Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think, is a tremendous passage on this. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul teaches these people a little bit about their history. And then he gives them a very strong commandment that I want you to think about this morning. Because we're looking at passages now that are talking about the possibility of falling from grace. These passages have been talking about the possibility of falling from grace. Think of that word possibility. And look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, and they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. The rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor act as, let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Verse 12 is key. Therefore, he says, now that I've said all that, now that we had a history lesson, now that you know what all the things your fathers and forefathers did, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Apostle Paul here lists Israel's past failures, and he says each time they did it, they were punished. Each time they left the Lord, they were punished for it. God did not excuse it. God did not overlook it. They suffered when they left the Lord. And he's verse after verse after verse. Remember when they did this? Remember when this happened in the wilderness? Remember how many people died on that day? You see, one has to be standing before he can fall. Notice there in verse 12, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. You have to be up before you can be down. You have to be somewhere before you can drop. I'm standing here on the edge of this platform. To fall off of it, I got to be on it first. I have to be up here before I can fall down. Paul says, look, you're Christians. Paul's writing this to Corinthians, a church of Christians. And he says, you Christian people, look yourself in the mirror. Be sure that you are not falling away from Him. If you think you stand, take heed to that, pay attention to that, or you will fall just like your ancestors did. That to me is as plain as it can be, that we can fall away from the Lord. We can stumble. We can be in a position where we are faithful and then become unfaithful. Why would he tell the Corinthians all of these things if it were impossible for them to fall? Why would Paul say all of this if it were impossible for these Christians to fall away from God? It would be a giant waste of time. Paul would have just said, live your life, do as you please. No matter what you do, you're saved. So we've seen some passages that present the possibility of falling from grace. But the Bible not only teaches us about the possibility of falling from grace, but secondly, we're told about several people who fell from grace. Once you think of the word possibility, now think of the word people. We looked in class this morning about Judas. We know Acts chapter 1, and where they discuss what Judas had done and had to replace him as an apostle. We know that Judah was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and there's nothing in the Bible that says that he wasn't. He was called as apostle, he acted as apostle. Do we know about Judas's sins, that he was a treasurer and he stole from the treasury? Yes, but he had full standing as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he fell. If he can fall, can you fall? If he can betray Jesus, can you betray Jesus? If a man who walked with Jesus and talked to Jesus and touched him and saw him perform miracles and heard him preach these lessons for the first time, if that person can fall away, can you fall away? Can you betray Jesus? Absolutely. Sure you can. Sure I can. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul mentions two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, that fell. Hebrews chapter 6, the Hebrew writer says, there were many, in his words, who fell away. You remember what Paul taught the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by the grace of God, you've been saved through faith. Saved by grace through faith. He wrote that to Christians who are living in Ephesus. And then what was the message taught to the Ephesian Christians in Revelation chapter 2? He said what? You need to return to your first love. You need to return to your first love. He writes this beautiful letter to this Ephesian church in which there's really no correction of anything. Of all the Paul's letters, it's basically the only one where Paul isn't correcting a problem. But then later in history, move forward the clock, and here is a church that has lost their first love and does have a problem. Paul said, you've been saved. You are saved people. And then later they're told, you need to return again. Why tell them to do that? To do it if they haven't done it, or at least wasn't a possibility? 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning verse 1, there's several verses there where Paul's talking about things that would happen and so many different teachings and doctrines that come into the church that would influence people to fall away. So many of these things have been listed. So many people in the New Testament, in the Christian age, were cited as falling away. So the Bible teaches us in several passages the possibility of falling away. It lists so many people who fell away. I'll teach you about it, and I'm going to show you people who have done just that. But what's that mean to us? What are the practical things that I want you to think about when you leave here this morning in terms of this question? I want you to think of the word prevent. Possibility, the Bible teaches, and there are people who fell away. But the third thing this morning is simply, how do I prevent falling away from the Lord? Every event of life tests our faith. You know the famous boxer Mike Tyson. I think he stole this line from somebody else, but I saw it as attributed to him. He said, everybody has a plan until I punch them in